It's the Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
Jay! Jay! Hey! My headset's
Text or call the show at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sacktown Sports 1140.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my favorite day of the year. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, who's that on the microphone? It's Jason Ross. Jason's back from New York. Yeah. Learn to broadcast.
Now I'm better than ever.
Welcome back. How was it?
Good. How are you? Great.
I am great. I'm all choked up because you're back. That was weird. I went to answer you and I aspirated some saliva. Good morning!
Tastes like chicken.
Tastes like chicken.
This is your favorite day of the year?
It is. This is my favorite day of the year. I mean, I do love... Okay, this is on my Mount Favorite Day more. By the way, our good friend Joey Swinky, via Pat from Pat and Tom, and Cody, asked me who was on my Mount Joey more. And that got me. I went... First one I could think of is Chestnut. The baby kangaroo, Joey.
Joey.
And then what, like Arrington?
Crawford?
Joey Crawford. Okay, I'll put Crawford ahead of Arrington. And then, yeah, oh, wow, I just got teed up. And then Joey.
Whoa.
Joey Come Lately? No, Joey from, that's Johnny Come Lately. Oh, Give Me a Break. Was that Give Me a Break, Joey? Joey Lawrence?
He was that, but what was the other? Blossom. Very special Blossom.
Oh, a very special Blossom. Yeah, that kind of stunned me. Welcome back.
Thank you.
What did you give us, you know, all the broadcasters go out there and it's a big thing and you sit in classes and stuff.
Yes. There's a lot that goes on, but can I start with a regret
of
that
course,
I had?
Yes.
So
No regrets.
Yeah. What night was it? All these nights are blending. Tuesday night. It's the bridge between, you know, opening day was Tuesday for these broadcast meetings. Wednesday was the second day yesterday.
Was there an opening ceremony?
We all stand up.
Yes.
I carried in the torch, passed it on to another broadcaster.
Yes.
And there was a function that night, like kind of a get together, mingle, whatever. And I said, okay, this is something. I mean, I'm out here. I need to go to this. And I kept looking at, like, oh, man. I'm in New York. Well, I mean, we're in Newark, so we're across the Hudson. And I go, oh, it's about 8:30. If I leave this thing early and go over to Yankee Stadium.
Oh, no.
I don't have a ticket, but like I might get there and it'll be seventh or eighth inning. But I'd be there. Maybe I'll see if Judge like does something special. Not only did he do something special. He hit 60, and then they hit a walk-off grand slam.
Line drive laser beam.
Yes, that would have been awesome to see in person. Now, I had a great time at this event and stayed. And
did you?
Yeah, I did. Honestly, okay, I did.
All right.
But it's still like back here in the back of my mind going, oh, you should have.
I am so preemptively and now post-emptively sad for you. Wow. Yeah.
Now, I've been to Yankee Stadium. That doesn't matter. New and old, but... That would have been an incredible moment.
You know, it's so weird, though, because we covered that back here, obviously. Not once, that's how stupid I am, not once I put together that you were in New York. I knew you were in New York, and I knew that was in New York. I knew the whole thing. I did not even put it together that, Jason, you could have been. So you could have gone over there. Well, let me ask you this. Did you even take a peek at ticket prices?
I did not, and I wasn't getting, I sometimes it's easier, like, if you were not, and you're like, oh, I'll go with you. It's
right.
Like, all right, it probably would have been a solo mission, which I'm not, that doesn't bother me.
Who cares?
But it was, I don't have tickets, and actually, the only other time I went to New Yankee Stadium, I didn't have a ticket either, and apparently it was a makeup rainout game, and so I went over, I couldn't even get a ticket. I finally kind of talked my way into the game, but it was like the eighth inning when I got there.
Wow.
and ended up sitting like behind home plate. It was great.
Really?
Yeah, it was a long, long story. But I was thinking, man, the same thing. And I remember that day, and that was the first season of new Yankee Stadium. There was no ins and outs. So like if you were leaving and, you know, you've got a ticket stub because the Yankees were down, four runs going into that last inning, you might have been leaving and going, whatever. I go, I'll buy your ticket for anything, $20 just to have the ticket stub because you're leaving. What do you care?
Right.
And then they were saying there was no in, you know, I couldn't, they wouldn't know it was your ticket. I couldn't go in and out like that. So I'm like, dang, well,
you can go in and out now, though?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. So I'm, and like the ticket office was closed at that time. Like there was nobody, I literally want to get into the game. I will willing to pay. Yeah. I just couldn't get in back then. So I didn't know if I would be in that similar situation. I was thinking back to that and I go, well, this is why I'm here. So anyway, I had a good time. But afterwards, I see, you know, all the news flashes and sports centers and Twitter tweets. And I'm like, man, would have been something. But not a super bad regret.
Is it 9 a.m. right now for you?
No, I'm good. I try to jump right to that time. And then, but the problem is it was late flight last night. Got in really late. So, yeah, it's that part.
Yeah.
I think I got home at a little after 12.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, we're both on a little bit of sleep then. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll
you were up late?
I was. I've been up late most of the week, yeah. So, let's see. I was, in fact, I tweeted when I had almost gotten home. It was, let's see.
You went to that concert the other day, didn't you?
I did. It was 2:30 in the morning.
Last night?
Yes.
Woo!
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
About an hour and a half, baby.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to that Roger Waters concert. We talked about it yesterday. You weren't here. We talked about it. It was loud.
Yeah.
It was too loud. It was, like, literally too loud. We stayed for half of it and then left because it was too loud. It was, I think it's because he can't hear.
Mm.
And
now you can't.
Now I can't hear, and I completely, I get it. The YouTube chat is open, and today's conversation looks like it's going to be, it's starting off with Sting versus the Police. Not that they're battling each other. It's his former band. And which one is better? Joey Tribbiani. Who is that? That name sounds familiar. Somebody is putting that in the Mount Joey Moores.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. What else do I have for you? Made spaghetti and meatballs last night. That's always fun. Second time in less than a week I've made spaghetti and meatballs for a large group of people.
Okay.
Like 10 or more. It's one of those meals where it's fairly... It will feed everybody.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of eat. You can make meatball subs the next day and all that. Big fan. Breadcrumbs and eggs are the...
That's the key. Holds the meat together.
Holds the meat together. You got to do that. And, you know, let the sauce it out. You know, don't go ragu on us.
Yeah.
Don't go Prego. Just, and then you can use the sauce for... makes one. You know, spaghetti sauce makes for wonderful pizzas, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does.
Absolutely.
Especially it's a meat sauce.
Yeah.
You ever have a tortilla pizza?
You count Taco Bell Mexican pizza.
No,
I have not. Not officially.
Yeah. Make pizza just like a normal pizza. Put it in the oven, 350, and it is the thinnest crunch. It's literally, it's like almost like a tortilla chip crust.
Yeah, extra thin crust.
Extra thin crust. So I did that. Saw the last half of a movie called A River Runs Through It with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why I've missed that movie, but I have, and you guys can all save it if you say, how could you have missed that movie? I agree with you. So I have to go back and watch that now this weekend, because I saw the second half. And
yeah.
Spoiler alert, towards the end, it's like, I didn't ask questions of the police sergeant when he woke me up early on a Saturday morning, and as I came home and told my parents that my brother Paul had been beaten with the butt of a gun to death and dumped in an alley. I said, jeez.
Now I got to see it.
Yeah. Brad Pitt went through this stretch where I think it's because he was trying to be a serious actor. Every movie he was in was incredibly depressing.
Yeah.
That, Legends of the Fall.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I mean, good movies.
Right.
All these are great movies. Seven. It ends with the head in the box.
What's in the box?
What is in the box? Spoiler alert. We know what's in the box.
We find out.
12 Monkeys with Bruce Willis.
I don't...
He just keeps repeating the same...
I can't remember if I've seen that movie.
Don't see it.
I don't think I have.
Just... I mean, even Thelma and Louise, technically. He was in that, right?
You got to wait till, like, Ocean's 11.
Right, that was great.
Does it pick me up?
And I started thinking about more and more. I'm like, that can't be a coincidence. Was he trying to be in really depressing movies because it made him seem like more serious of an actor. Like some movies, I guess it's not necessarily depressing, but they, you know, they drive off the cliff at the end. Spoiler alert. Wow. True Romance, that wasn't depressing. I mean, it was kind of depressing,
right?
But you know, in the end, you know, just the eye patch.
Yeah,
I don't know. Anyways, so that's my thoughts on Brad Pitt.
Nice.
I'm so delirious this morning. I am.
That's going to make for a good show.
It is. Yeah. If you're delirious, I'm delirious. We've got King's Media Day Monday.
Yes. That'll make us all delirious.
That'll make us all delirious.
Yeah. I did get fired up, though, for the NBA, just being around the NBA people and the league stuff. And just, it's like, it's here.
Any inside info? Anything, new things coming?
You know, there was a lot more talk. Well, it was interesting, you know, the commissioner was there. So he does his little state of the – and, of course, it was – and I know it'll be a show topic, a lot of conversation on Robert Sarver. And he poked, you know, he's like, yeah, I didn't do so well last week, did I?
Oh.
And it was like, oh, good for – you know.
Good for him.
And then he tried to explain himself at least better. And I think I understood a little more, but it wasn't crystal clear. And now things are starting to crystallize anyway a little bit for him. Yeah, just talk about improvement. The referee part is always the best. Some new points of emphasis. And you know, they gave a little sneak peek about stuff we've talked about before. Like, how are they going to make this work? But there's still a lot of talk about the in-season tournament next year. So, or the season after. So just a lot of little things like that. And it was really productive.
At some point during the show, I would love for you to share with us a new point of emphasis.
A new point of emphasis.
Something. It doesn't have to be in basketball. It could be in your life. It's just whatever it may be.
Don't run with scissors.
Yes, do not run with scissors. Do not drink yellow snow, and do not turn the channel. Because Robert Sarver's selling, not once but twice. This hour, we're going to refer to this today. A former king is going to be suspended. It looks like
that's a good tease. Yeah.
And week three in the NFL starts tonight.
Woo!
Leading off is next.
Get your 49ers fix every week with the Return of the Empire podcast, featuring Jay Mars and 49ers insider Emil Fragoso.
Let's go, Niners!
At SacktownSports.com.
Your local sports leader.
Hey, it's Carmichael Day from my good friend Shelby at United Wholesale Lending. Shelby, Peter, the whole team over there at RefinanceWithShelby.com making it happen. Listen, local lenders. Local lender, a reputation to uphold. With other banks, you're just a number. Why would you possibly want to purchase or refinance from someplace in Southern California or Florida or Texas or Ohio? Why don't you try purchasing or refinancing with local folks that live amongst us, that worry about word of mouth, that know the title companies, that know the appraisers, and if you're trying to purchase, that know the realtors? So when realtors are looking at multiple offers, they say, you know what? I've worked with Shelby before a bunch of times, and I know if you got a pre-approval from him, your deal is going through. They can close a purchase loan in 17 days. That's speed on your side with a local lender. You can compete with cash offers. Refinance with Shelby.com. NMLS number 279051. BRA number 01864354.
Let's do it. It's time for Leading Off.
Brought to you by Lasher's Elk Grove Dodge, where for over 60 years, their name means a great deal in Elk Grove Auto Mall and online at ElkGroveDodge.com. Here's cut number one.
All right. Hold on, Jay. Don't say anything. We did this yesterday. Apparently now this is happening every day, which I don't understand, but we'll get into that later. PC up.
Right.
Let's see if
it
works.
You know, certainly the reaction and the fact that Robert Sarver knows now that he would be a pariah if he tried to remain in the NBA, remained in ownership, that certainly played a factor in this. But I think a bigger factor is financial. And I think for Robert Sarver, who at his core is a banker and is somebody who looks at the realities financially of owning the Suns, and that every day he remains as the majority owner of that team, it devalues that franchise. You saw sponsors already starting to pledge that they were going to walk away from agreements once they expired, as long as Sarver was in place.
Follow the money.
Always.
Follow the cash. You're a racist, and now you're getting $3 billion to go away. That's actually the song they sang about it. It's fine. Look, we talked about this when Adam – you know, I actually thought Adam – so I thought Adam Silver, and again, maybe this is a little tinfoil of me, but we talked about this. I thought he did the best he could in a horrific, yes, terrible situation. And again, I think he knew what he was doing, and that's what he was doing. He brought it up to the edge of the cliff as far as he could go. He probably suspected that if he were to come out and say, he's gone, then it would be very difficult to show. He didn't give it a chance to develop.
Yeah.
And the for lack of a better term, the baby began to evolve in the tummy there. The sponsors, the minority owners, and the writing was on the wall because Sarver probably got a phone. I do not for one second believe Robert Sarver woke up yesterday and sipped his coffee and overlooking the Arizonan sunrise. Went, you know, maybe it's time to move on, and then a hawk went, Kiar! You know, whatever they do. I don't think that's what happened. I think he got a call and was like, listen, dude, we can make this crazy. There's going to be legal fees. Your valuation's going to go. It's going to cost a lot of money, and you're going to get dragged through the mud. It'll be on TV, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Or you can just quietly walk away, make a statement, maybe win some points, and you're going to make a lot of money.
Yeah, and I think that's it. I don't know who he trusts, who I'm talking about Sarver, but that point that Woj just said there, I mean, in the end, he's a banker. And so much like we say, hey, Vivek bought the Kings for this, and now it's worth this. Well, it's not worth that unless you sell.
Right.
So when people are like, look at how much money Robert Sarver is now going to have. Well, he has to sell it.
Yes.
And now there's a reason to, and the public pressure, all the things he's going to feel if he was stubborn and locked in his heels and said, oh, I'll sit a year. That's fine. I'll take this punishment.
Sure.
You can say whatever you want about me. Well, instead, it's like, all right, I do have a lot of money. I'm going to have a lot more money. Yeah, I got some more than egg on my face. My reputation's been tarnished, but I'll be okay. Is probably what he's thinking.
Also, and we'll get to this later, his extremely wienery statement he put out, too. Have you seen the statement?
I don't know that I have. Oh, just recently here?
Yesterday.
Oh, no, I did not see that.
Oh, it's a hoot.
Mm.
By the way, you know my favorite Pariah is?
Oh.
Pariah Carey.
Mine's Pariah Faber.
Ooh, cut number two.
Cut number two.
The Celtics head coach facing disciplinary action, which could include a significant suspension that could be up to a year for his role in a consensual, intimate relationship with a woman who is a member of the Boston Celtics staff. His job is not in jeopardy, but according to Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN senior NBA insider, he is going to face some time away from the Boston Celtics.
All right. Ime Udoka, former Sacramento King, also a coach in the NBA.
Yeah.
Somewhere. So this is – I found myself reflecting, Jason, last night on this. Sports media used to be, hey, the box score and the play. Yeah. And the rebound. And yeah. Now it's, well, you know, Tom Brady or Giselle. I mean, really, right. Whose side are you on? This guy's a racist. Should he be fired? And the other things he said. And now, you know, it's Ime Udoka's married to Nia Long. And now he cheated on with the girl. And should he be, you know, who was it? And is it a, can you legislate, you know? These are all things, let's just be clear, we're not equipped to talk about.
Right.
This is not balls and strikes or free throws. This is a grown man in a consensual relationship that it sounds like broke the rules of his employer. It's like it's an HR thing. It's not a
talk
sports,
radio.
Right.
Yeah.
But we have to talk about it because it will have sports ramifications.
Yeah. On a team that doesn't even matter, but they are one of the favorites, if not the favorite to win it all, could not have their coach for either forever, this coach, or doesn't sound like that, but for an extended period of time. So then it does impact sports.
There's two truths I've generally learned over the years, whether it's in this business or whatever. Number one, generally guys are as faithful as their options. Mm-hmm. You find the more the option meter goes up, the less the faithfulity, not a word, but you get it, I hope, it happens. And here's the other thing. All these teams have illegal is not the wrong word, but they all have. They've all got relationships that shouldn't be happening.
Mm-hmm.
There's dancers and players,
sure,
and players and executives and coaches and it happens. It's just, do you get caught? And now I can't I'm not going to sit here, nor I'm sure would you, and want to decipher whether the Boston Celtics relations department is right or wrong in what they're doing.
Yeah.
But it's an employer and they have a rule.
Right.
And it's a legal rule. They're not breaking any laws. It happens in, with many employers.
Yeah.
Now you have one of the better up-and-coming coaches who will likely be gone, if not for the entire year, half the year. And oh, by the way, he lost his lead assistant to the Utah Jazz.
Right.
So,
and I think the, you know, the HR element of it for any company out there, it's really if one is considered in a position of power that has impacted that relationship. Now, this has been said as consensual, but sometimes people, oh, it was consensual. What was it? So I think there's been some investigating into that, and that's awkward too.
Well, it's like in 2007 when you and I were dating, but we were both, you know, doing updates at the time. There was right. no.
Wow, you don't even remember 05.
Oh my gosh, that's right. I thought you. It's 21st of September, right? Yes, that's.
You remember?
I do remember. Number three.
Cut number three.
Schwartz wide to the right from the jet 12. Brissett takes the snap, gives it to Chubb, takes it left, takes it outside, got the corner 10, 5, cut back, touchdown! He's got a hat trick! Take off your hat and throw it out there for Nick Chubb!
Nick Chubb, who we played yesterday, apologized for scoring.
Which, shame on him.
Which, by the way, is going to be a theme to this show. they're doing the football tonight. Week three begins in the NFL. Steelers, Browns, and Senator Real. The Browns favored by 4.5 in this one.
Okay.
They lost at home to the Jets. And
an awful loss.
An awful loss. So they're going to be angry and ready to go. Both teams 1-1. That is tonight at 5:15, and get ready for Angry Boomer Evening because it's on Amazon Prime.
How do I get it?
I can't find it. I don't know. I think my dad found it because
I thought you said he did. Yeah,
he did. Yeah. That's right. Good job, Dad.
It's just the like we said before, the changing it. You know, the hey, I want to check in on something else. Hey, Aaron Judge is up. I want to see if he hits number 61. Right. You know, it's bouncing back and forth has been the issue.
It's like getting to our sports highlights.
It's
on
just a couple clicks away.
You know what? Actually, I know my dad. That's right. I forgot. It's not just that my dad found it. He found it because he knows Amazon. Mm-hmm. And the reason he knows Amazon so well is because I think I told you he's got the Korean romance shows that he's got an addiction to that.
No.
My dad is addicted to Korean romance movies and shows. I don't know how it happened, the subtitles and everything. And I guess Amazon, you know, he ran out of Netflix and now he's on Amazon.
He's hooked. Interesting. Would not have picked that one.
How many Kings are in the ESPN Top 100? We'll tell you. We're some old friends. We'll tell you that too coming up next.
Live and past broadcasts of the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross and Cattles and Robbie.
Interviews, podcasts, and more.
They all live on the Sactown Sports 1140 app. Download the app now in the App Store and Google Play. When it breaks, we have it first. Sactown Sports 1140.
Breaking news.
Sean Sharania reporting the Utah Jazz and Detroit Pistons are in serious talks on a trade, sending Bojan Bogdanovic to Detroit for Kelly Olynyk and additional salary. Bojan Bogdanovic to Detroit. Not done, but if it's this far, rarely does it not go through if it's being reported at that level. That's incredibly, not incredibly interesting, but listen, I don't want to get too silly here. Detroit's got themselves a young squad here.
Getting there.
Kate Cunningham's number one pick. Jaden Ivey, the would-be king. Sadiq Bey is a good player.
Yeah.
Obviously Marvin Bagley is, well, we don't need to get into that. I don't want that to be the whole show. If you add in Bojan Bogdanovic, who's just going to be one of those serviceable veterans that means a lot to a young team like that. I'm not, and of course, by the way, how could I possibly forget about Magruder? I'm not trying to say Detroit's a world beater. I'm saying I kind of like the direction they're going with this team.
I do too, and I think you know, you asked about the broadcast meetings. One of the other themes that like collectively everybody was saying is how they think the NBA as a competition is in a really good place. So if we just took the top nine in the East, this is the East last year. Miami, Boston, Milwaukee, Philly, Toronto, Chicago, Brooklyn, Atlanta, Cleveland. That's all very good news. Now, Toronto seems to me of the nine to have the least overall talent, but they still ended up being a five seed.
Cleveland adds Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah. And Detroit is better, I think, but how do they navigate those waters of those nine teams? Charlotte was the play-in team. New York made it 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I think Indiana's going through some things. Washington, Orlando. The East is very competitive, and they felt the same way about the West.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. You've got so many competitive teams, and really you have like eight not competitive teams, if that. When you look at what a team like Detroit is doing, let's not forget what the Clippers have done, what the Pelicans have done, the Timberwolves have done. The Clippers are going to get better, but they're not a rebuilding team, but better, you would assume, with Kawhi Leonard back. It does, I think, put a little bit more pressure, Memphis, on Monty McNair, because the idea here is that the Kings are going in the right direction.
Right.
As we get into the season, it's become very clear that this is, you know, we talked a lot about a make or break here for De'Aaron Fox. I think this is also a make or break here for Monty McNair. I almost know, Jason, as soon as we start talking about this seriously, the Kings will announce an extension.
Yeah.
But until then, there's no other way to look at it. Monty McNair's on the – Monty McNair – hey, Jay, I'm sorry. I know you're busy. Or is Jay gone? Yep, Jay's gone. I was going to ask for the breaking news, Bed, because I'm ready to say it. Monty McNair's on the hot seat. He's officially on the hot seat.
Because of where his contract falls.
Because of where his contract falls. It is a lame duck year for him. That is a clear – you know how they have votes of confidence?
Mm-hmm.
That is a vote of not confidence.
Yeah.
It's a vote
at the moment, sure.
It's not a vote of we think you're a failure, and it's not obviously a vote of confidence. It's a vote of we're not confident. We don't know. We are undecided on you, and that can only mean one thing. Obviously, they want to wait and see how some or all of this year goes before they decide to extend Monty McNair. So correct me if I'm wrong. How could, at this point, how could we possibly think anything else other than Monty McNair's job is reliant on the Kings having a much better year this year?
Correct. And I don't even know how to tangent. Most obvious statement is make the playoffs, right? Wouldn't that be the most?
Yes.
Because it would be hard to paint a picture of Davis' team being better.
Yes.
That doesn't make it. And they go, yeah, we're cool with that. Like, I just don't know that that's a... officially a thing.
I don't either, but we got breaking news right now, sort of.
When it breaks, we have it first. Sactown Sports 1140.
Breaking news.
All right, that was quick. Both Adrian Wojnarowski and Shams Charania reporting that the trade is now, well, all but official. They have to clear it with the league, but there is an agreement. The Pistons are sending Kelly Olynyk and Saben Lee. Saben Lee.
Yeah.
To the Jazz for Bojan Bogdanovic. So there you go, both Woj and Shams reporting it, therefore it's true. Also, Jay, while you were out of the room, we had breaking news as well. We just didn't have the bed. Jason agrees. Curious if you disagree. I am ready to officially put Monty McNair on the hot seat. Monty McNair officially on the hot seat as of September 22nd, 2022. Lame duck contract. No other explanation other than the Kings are undecided. I mean, again, I know I'm being kind of, I'm half being silly here, but true or false, if the headline were to read, or Woj or whoever were to report, I'd say, Kings are undecided as to whether or not they want to retain Monty McNair.
I don't even think that's hot seat at that point. I think that's basically like he's gone.
No, wait, you think he's gone?
At this point, it seems like it.
See, I think what's going on...
You think they're waiting on the results.
I think what they're doing is they're just... It's too early. I think what they're doing is they're doing the same crap they always do, which is being...
So they're waiting on the results, right? Which is...
Can you think of a last time
super
they...
Super smart.
You know, I think the last time they did something like that? Oh, I know.
I can think of a few times.
Oh, I know. It was Vlade at the end of the Jaeger year.
Well...
And they promptly extended him.
They
fired him a year later.
Here's the other side of that, right? You're waiting on the results. Let's say the results are really good. Monty McNair's a free agent. What if somebody else wants to take a shot at him?
Why would you think that way? Again,
Wouldn't that be the most Kings thing of all time? Yes. Is they finally get in the playoffs and the GM goes elsewhere because they didn't want to extend him?
He just leaves.
Yeah, what if Monty has been offered an extension and said, no, I'll hang on. I'll wait.
Okay, I got to be honest. I
feel like that would have leaked.
I think so, too.
It would have. But there's like a, seriously, there's a part of me that's rooting for that. And not as a Kings fan, just as a let it burn. Like, how great would that be? Just to teach a lesson. You know what? You could have extended the guy. He makes maybe $1 million a year. This is not one of your higher paid GMs. He maybe makes $1 million a year, which is a lot of money to us, but that's like pennies in the NBA.
You know, we always wonder what could possibly go wrong with this team that we haven't seen already. That would be a new one. Yeah. You don't extend the GM. He has a great season, and someone else, you know, looking for a new front office executive swoops on in with a great deal and a better team, better core, whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, we like the job you did in Sacramento.
Boy, I got the Sacramento Kings to the playoffs for the first time in 16 seasons is a really good thing to put on your resume. I'm just saying.
You're literally talking about a guy, and this is before Keegan Murray plays an NBA minute, that has the best draft record, which isn't saying a ton since Jeff Petrie, but still. And by the way, percentage-wise, is a better draft record than Jeff Petrie.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's be honest, a small sample size. Has controlled this and pared down this front office, has brought stability somewhat to the team, has acquired a two-time All-Star. And I'm glad our guy Campeo Silva said this because it's – and I'm just going to pick on him because I love him. He's dead wrong. Monty's not on the hot seat. It's Sacramento. Not many want the job. And that's a narrative that just needs to go away. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I understand the logic behind it.
It's one of 30.
It's one of 30. Yeah. There's, I don't know, probably about 100 people that are somewhat qualified and 30 that are immensely qualified that would take this job in a heartbeat,
yep.
including but not limited to Wes Wilcox, who's already in the front office, Joe Dumars, who tried to formulate multiple coups to get the job, and on and on and on. Sachin and Gupta before their one phone call, and you're going to have about 50 resumes the next day. You really are. And I don't have the energy for another GM switch. I really, truly don't. Maybe that's because I need to call my good friends at American Energy. I need energy from somewhere. Not much time left in September, and as we say goodbye to summer and hello to fall, thank God, I've got a $2,500 off situation for new HVAC installations. Yeah, that's right. Now's the time to replace your system. Get $2,500 off on a new HVAC home system installation with 0% financing. Payment plan options available. There's just no reason to keep putting off making your home a place of comfort for you and your family. Offer expires this month. Yeah, at the end of the month. So don't wait. Call today, 916-520-9990, or visit AmericanEnergyAir.com. If you're looking to replace your HVAC system, now's the time to contact American Energy. Don't settle with a high quote from those other guys. Come on. Get a free quote on your system from your second opinion partner. American Energy, 916, that's the area code, because they're Sacramento, owned and operated since 1981, A-plus Better Business Bureau. 916-520-9990, that's 916-520-9990, or AmericanEnergyAir.com. That is AmericanEnergyAir.com. Tell them Carmichael Dave sent you. Now, we're going to have to get to that Kings list at some point. I'll let Jay shuffle that around, since we got on Monty McNair talk. When we get back, we'll get to that, and then we'll tell you Jimmy G was thought to go to this team in the offseason. If we have time, we'll tell you who next.
Kings insiders Frankie Cardoselli and Chris Watkins give you all things Kings on the Return of the Roar podcast.
You know, with these two sitting next to me now, certainly feel comforted.
You can sign up for free at
SacktownSports.com. You know, they've been here for a combined 50 years. The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports 1140.
All right, got a little carried away there talking about Monty McNair and all that. I'll take the L on that because we want to get you the ESPN Top 100 list. Now, here's how I look at these lists, Jason. There are five starters in the NBA.
Yes.
Yeah, that's your starting five. 30 teams. So that's 150 starters in the NBA. So, you know, generally, you want to have five of your guys in the top 150. That means you have
a good team.
Right. Well, almost. The Kings have their highest ranked player, number 47, is DeMontis Sabonis. I actually think that's a might be a little low for him. That's mm-hmm. the one I kind of take an exception to. Number 54, De'Aaron Fox. And again, we talked a lot about this yesterday. This is just kind of a I think that 54 is probably right around right. I don't have a qualm with it per se, but I think there has been a lot of national and local. Some would call it disrespect, and I think it borders on that in some cases when you look at some lists, but also legit questions about sure. De'Aaron Fox. I want to see him shot out of a cannon. You know, did that sound right? I want him to. I want him to start the season like he's shot out of a cannon.
Right.
I don't want to see him shot out of a cannon. I just like how last year he started right. slow. I want to see him just explode yeah. out and just shut everybody up.
When he was at his peak last year, you want to see him playing like that from
yes,
day one.
From day one, yeah. absolutely. I want to see a couple of De'Aaron Fox players of the week type of thing.
Sure.
That would be wonderful. Number 74, Steady Eddie, Harrison Barnes.
Yep.
Just Harrison Barnes, the point where like I almost think he should go by Harry. Harry sounds it's like Steady Eddie.
Harry Barnes. So
Harry Barnes.
Harry Barnes.
Shows up with his lunch pail and does his thing and checks in, checks out, and does the deal. Harrison Barnes, number 74. And then the rookie, number 95. So already in the
That's
top
respect.
100. Yeah, that is a lot of respect. Keegan Murray at number 95. A lot of high hopes. Former Kings? Okay, you ask. Number 100, Bogdan Bogdanovich. Number 96, Seth Curry. Number 90, Buddy Hield, and number 59, Tyrese Halliburton.
Interesting.
According to ESPN, Tyrese Halliburton yeah. still not as good as De'Aaron Fox. That's what I took from that.
So the Kings got a better player in Sabonis than Halliburton, according to them.
That, according to that, I mean, listen, Sabonis is number 47, Tyrese Halliburton is number 59. Therefore,
yeah. But you also gave up number 90 in Buddy Hield.
That is. Yeah. That is very true. It's going to be an interesting, and obviously the fifth one right there, since you asked, is either Malik Monk or Kevin Herr, you would imagine, is going to be the other starter not named here. And I got to look, but can't imagine they're too far out on that top 150 thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think there's any question the Kings are going to have a deep team this year. It's are they top heavy?
Yeah, my overall kind of surface area statement on the Kings going into the year is they will be as good as Sabonis and Fox. I mean, I know yes. there's Keegan Murray's going to be really important. Rashawn Holmes off the bench will be important. Herder, as you mentioned, and Monk and Barnes, just everybody, Davion, they're all going to be critical. But I think it's if De'Aaron Fox, as your term, shoots out of the cannon from the beginning,
yes.
and Sabonis plays, like, I think he's... It's up for debate. Everybody would take Jokic first at center or Embiid, one of those two. Yes. Maybe Gobert with his offensive limitations, it makes you wonder, but still defensively. Towns, he's right there. He yes. is right there in one of the best centers in the league. If those two guys are dynamic, I just think they're going to be really good.
I agree.
But I don't know, I don't know how to quantify that and say, oh, that puts him as a four seed. Oh, that puts him as a play-in team. No, that puts him five games better, but they missed the playoffs. I just think they're better. I don't know where that'll go. That other part then, how that all gels and makes you a team, will then become very important.
You have to play 82 games no matter what. 41 on the road, 41 yeah. at home. You say that all the time. But as we get towards the beginning of the year and start to actually look at things, and it's tough, but you have what could be a play-in showdown with Portland starting right away.
Mm-hmm.
Home Portland, home LA, at Golden State, home Memphis, home Miami, at Charlotte, at Miami. That is a tough start.
Yes, it is.
And then you go at Orlando. This is beautiful. At Charlotte, at Miami, at Orlando on November 5th, at Golden State 2 days later.
Yeah, to close the trip.
I don't know what the worst one is, but I got to imagine Orlando to Golden State has to be top five longest trip in the NBA.
Yeah, that's brutal. I mean, again, they have some days there, but not a ton. But it's, you know, who you're playing. And part of it is, you know, I think the Kings are going to be in such a mindset to somehow get into that top 10, whatever
yes.
that means to them, whatever seeding position that is. that they could be so focused, but because the conference is so good, like, I don't know that teams will, like, yeah, it's 82, we'll be fine. Like, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, Boston figured it out a little later than teams wanted to.
Sure.
I think Phoenix was committed to, you know, having a great record. And other teams, like Phoenix a year ago, like, once things just started going their way, they're like, let's get the highest seed we possibly could. They ended up as a one seed. So I just think that the competition on a nightly basis is going to be so good in the league. But I think the competition on this team is going to be good fighting for minutes. And I think that generally leads to better teams, generally.
Remember, Phoenix could not solve the problem that was the Sacramento Kings last year. Yeah. They had a very difficult time against Sacramento. And there's always going to be those scuds at the beginning of the year where the Kings are open. We may be looking back on it 10 games into the season if the Kings are 5-5, which, by the way, I think 5-5 would be an amazing start considering that schedule. 5-5, 6-4, 7-3. We're going to see some of those games were unexpected victories by teams that just don't have the old Spurs.
Right.
They just don't have it together yet. Somebody on the YouTube chat, and I was thinking about this in a different concept, says that Fox and Sabonis is a top 15 duo. I was actually going to say to Jay, hey, I have a project for you, at your leisure, but where would the Kings rank in NBA Jam terms this year, where it's where you have a two-person lineup? I actually think that is quite interesting. The problem is I just don't know if they're top 15. I really don't.
I will have an answer to you by 8:13.
Okay.
Oh, project for Jay.
My guess is they will be below 15. But, again, they've got a bench. They've got a new coach. They have a GM on the hot seat.
Yeah.
They have a battle we're going to talk about a little bit later at the two.
Yeah.
It does look like 1-3-4-5 is set.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, there's also, we're going to talk about Keegan Murray and the two and all kinds of Mike Brown's effect, Malik Monk and Kevin Herter, welcome in. And, you know, we're going to have a lot of different things. I would like us to not forget something that just keeps itching in the back of my brain, Rashawn Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a weird thing. And I'm not talking about the off-court stuff, which sounds like that's been, if not resolved,
it's in a better place.
It's in a better place.
Yeah.
But I just don't know what is going on with Rashawn. I don't know if the Damian Jones move or lack thereof to keep him is a reflection on their confidence that Rashawn Holmes is full on the backup center along with Alex Len. And I don't know if the Kings are comfortable having – is this – I hate to – it's not like this, but is it almost like a Diet Junior Jimmy G situation where Rashawn Holmes is too expensive to be a backup center and too repetitive, but they don't want to give him away, so maybe they're just waiting to see if they can extract value out of Rashawn Holmes.
Yeah, down the line. That's interesting. I don't know how they're thinking about it that way, but they need to find – the version of him 2 years ago, 3 years ago, because that's a really good player.
Speaking of Jimmy Garoppolo, we told you earlier that we had heard that he would possibly be going to this team in the offseason. We'll tell you who that is, and if we have a second as well, we will look at tonight's Steelers-Browns Week 3 starter. We'll do that right after this.
Your home for the most comprehensive 49ers coverage.
Debo, Bosa, to our very own Armstead.
The 49ers Authority, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports.
Your local sports leader.